Please stand as we read God's word, verse number 13, verse number 14. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, again I thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful truths that we find that will strengthen our life and help us. You've given us instruction, Father, on how we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And Lord, we need to apply those. And Lord, we ask you to help us. We need your strength. We need your power. And Lord, we thank you for how good you are and how many wonderful things you've done for the people here of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you. And now we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As we have stated just about every week here for some time, I think all of you do understand that we are in a fight. The Scripture tells us that. I think if you understand it not only according to the Scripture here, we know it personally, that there is a battle out there. It is a fight. And Satan is constantly battling. And I think we've tried to stress that and try to get our people to understand that there is that battle there. It is raging, and from whence it is coming from. It's good for you to know that. It's good to you know that we are fighting principalities and powers of darkness, that it's not just the battles that you fight as an individual, but they're many times instigated by Satan himself and his powers, those principalities and powers of darkness. We also know, and we've stressed the fact, that we have to do the fighting. The Bible calls it wrestling. And it's we who have to do it. Now, we understand. We've tried to stress this. We know it's God's power that we do it in. We know without God's power, we'd be defeated immediately. But we do need God's power, and we do need to stand. We ourselves need to stand, you see. And what he told us, first of all, as we got into the section, what we're going to start dealing with now for a few weeks, is the armor of God. He tells us to put on the armor of God. But before he told us to put on the armor of God, he told us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That was not by accident that came first. God said we must be strong in the Lord, and then we put on the whole armor of God, you see. So to be able to put on the armor of God and stand like we should, we've got to be strong in the Lord. That came first. Amen. Got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God. Too many times people stop with just being strong in the Lord. They simply stop at that process. They say, well, I'm strong. And I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I do the things that help me to be strong in the Lord. I eat the right things, which we talked about, for a right kind of appetite. We need an appetite so we'll be strengthened. We need the appetite of the Word of God. We need prayer. We need exercise, living the Christian life, using the principles of God's Word, applying them to our lives. So we cannot stop there, because God says, yes, you must be strong, you must do this, but you also must put on the armor. It's very necessary that we have the armor of God. In other words, therefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. We may think we're strong, but we need God's armor. And we're going to start discussing that. Samson is a very perfect example of that. Samson was strong. He was a powerful man. He was given power by the Lord. The Spirit of God would come upon him, and he could kill 1,000 Philistines. He was a very, very, very powerful man. But if we will just look at him and his life, we find out that he did not retain the armor of God. He fell because he did not have the armor of God on. He was strong, but he fell. And so we need to realize that we too need the armor of God. You remember when Paul was lifted up to the third heaven, saw things that was unlawful to even speak about? Immediately, God allowed for a messenger of Satan to buffet him so that he would not trust in himself, or he would not be strong in himself, but he would be humbled. God knows that just because here we saw wonderful things, And Paul did. He saw tremendous things, and it could have very easily began to build his pride. But God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him and to keep him humble, because God knew that Paul was going to need this to be able to do the work that he had for him. If he got puffed up in his own strength, he'd be useless. All across this land, there is people who puffed up in their own strength. Some of them's in the ministry. And they are so puffed up as to the work that they are building instead of God building that they become useless for God. I'm saying to you, it's a dangerous thing for us to get all puffed up and get our eyes on men instead of Jesus Christ. That's a dangerous, dangerous situation. And we must remember that. We need God's power. We need God's strength. We need that. Yes, we want to be strong in the Lord, but we need the armor of God or we'll fall. Amen? So God says, now you put on the armor of God. You can't trust in yourself, you see. What we've got to remember is we can never assume that we are beyond the reach of the devil. See, some people think they're beyond the reach of the devil. Well, that's not true. Some people think the devil don't pay any attention to them. That is not true. The devil pays attention to every Christian. Yes, he gives more attention to some because some are doing more for the Lord, but he wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you where you're doing nothing for the Lord whatsoever. So you're not without the reach of the devil. He can absolutely and will absolutely work against you no matter who you are. And you and I need the armor of God. We need God's armor. Now, if you will notice, as he said in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God. Once again in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. The first point I want to make mention is simply the fact that it's God's armor. He says it's the armor of God. It's an armor that God will provide for us. We have to put it on, but it's God's armor, and he's the one that provides it for us. In fact, just for a moment, go back to 2 Peter, and I just want to read in the first chapter of 2 Peter, read first three verses. Has God provided for us everything we need in life? Certainly he has. Has he provided the protection for us? Certainly he has. If you'll go with me to the first verse of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now listen to what he says. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. There is not a thing that is not provided for us that we need. Not one thing. God has provided the strength for you to live tomorrow for him. He has provided the armor to protect you from the devil's wiles and the fiery darts. He has already provided it. We just have to take advantage of it and put it on. And all of these things, as he said, he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us everything that we absolutely need. None of us, not a one of us, can claim that God has not done for us what that he should do for us or given us what we need to protect us in life. We cannot do that. We must remember God has given us all things. Now, we look at back to Ephesians, and we're dealing with something that I want you to remember. You're dealing with an enemy, and we've stated this before, but we want to stress it at this point. You're dealing with an enemy that absolutely is above your power. He's greater than you in power. He's greater than me in power. That enemy is, of course, Satan and his cohorts. You must understand, as you live the Christian life, you do not have the ability to stand against him. He is greater in power. I've stressed that many times, but I want to stress it again. It is important you understand that. You must understand your weakness. If you begin to think that you are strong and you can stand against the devil, and you are headed for a fall immediately. And you need to understand that, you see. And now let me also make a statement. The armor that God gives is for the Christian only. And the reason I'm stressing that is this. He's talking to his people. The armor of God is not for the unsaved. Too many times, and that's why I've stressed over and over and over to you and I that when we deal with people, be wise in your dealings and in your counseling. First of all, it'll do no good for you to take the Word of God and try to get a non-Christian to gird himself, his loins up with truth, or put on the breastplate of righteousness, or the helmet of salvation, or be shod with the preparation of the gospel. It'll do no good for you to tell him to take up the shield of faith. It'll no good to tell him that he needs to pick up the sword of the Spirit. He has not the Spirit in him. The thing that that individual that is unsaved needs is Christ in salvation. And too many times we want to take the principles of the Word of God and say to that person, well, this is what you need to do. What he needs to do, first of all, is get saved. An unsaved person is not going to take and use the principles of God's Word. He does not have the Holy Spirit in him. He cannot. He needs saved. And you and I need to understand the first thing that needs to happen to that person who is having all of these troubles and all these problems is salvation. Multitudes of Christians are walking around, or let me put it this way, quote Christians, they say they're Christians, they're having all kinds of problems, and I really believe, and I've come to believe, that many, many times it's just simply because they just need to get saved. They need God's power in them. And that's the only way they're ever going to... And I know that Christians can have problems. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about situations that I know in my own life and I've dealt with over and over and over. They're not seeking God's help. They're seeking some help, all right, but not God's help. And I say to you folks that until you become a Christian, you're not even going to want God's help. And God's help is the only kind that's going to do us any good. So I just want to stress the fact... You see that these people, the things that God is saying here is for spiritual people. For people who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. These will not do the unsaved any good. They first of all need to get saved. They need Christ as their Savior. Notice also in verse number 11 he said, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Once again, you notice he stresses the fact that it's the whole armor that we need. This is not a pick-and-choose situation. This is not a catalog that you look and see what you would like to purchase. You don't go to an apartment store and begin to look around and find the little items you need. God says you need every item that's there. The whole armor of God. And he begins to list those things for us. And too many times, again, we as Christians want to kind of pick and choose what we want to do. It won't work. We must put on the whole armor of God. If you're a soldier in the army, some of you men have served in the services and you've served on the battlefield, and they give you certain clothing and equipment to put on, and they expect you to wear them all. I'm sure that you probably didn't take those combat boots and throw them away and say, well, I think I'll go barefooted. I'm sure you didn't take that helmet and pitch it away and say, I don't need it. You know why? You did need it. It was armor that the United States government give you to go out and to fight. And yet we as Christians, what we do is we pick and choose some of these things and pitch them away and don't want anything to do with them and expect God to protect us. It doesn't work. God wants you to have the whole armor of God on. And that's why he stressed that two different times here. Put it on piece by piece and leave no unguarded place that God has given you to guard. Leave none of it off. Put it all on. Amen? So again, stress the fact. Do you need the armor of God? Yes, you do. Do I need? Yes, I do. I need the whole armor of God. Now, the first one he mentions is In verse number 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." This comes first. This is not an accident. This comes first. He said, you gird up your loins, he says, with truth. You see, and in fact, if you look at it there, it's really basically he's saying, having girded your loins with truth. In other words, it's what you have put on. We've already been instructed to put it on. It's available. It's God's. It's provided by God. But you and I have to put it on. Amen? You've got to put it on, see. And so I think you're probably familiar if you've read some stories and things about the talking about the girdle or the belt that hold things together. In the olden days, even the men wore a loose-fitting garment. Let me stress something there. Many people say, well, they wore women's garment. They did not. There was absolutely distinction between the man's garments and the woman's garment. And the loose-fitting garment that they wore, if they was in an activity, if they was in war or whatever it was, if they was working, it would get in the way of their work. Underneath that long flowing garment, they had what we would call breeches or britches that covered their nakedness. They did not go naked. But what they would do is pull up those loose-fitting garments and bind it around themselves with a girdle, what we would call like a belt. It belted all of those loose-fitting garments together. Why? So they would not get in the way for the activity that they was going to do, so they could work. For a soldier, he did not need to worry about tripping over a garment. He did not worry about getting entangled in some garment. So they would belt them in. They would girdle them in. So why? He could hold that shield with one hand and the sword with the other. And he did not have to worry about all these extra clothing that would get in his way. They was girded up. They was bound around. And he could go to war confident with security that he was ready to go out and fight and do what he was supposed to do. So what he simply was saying, he was free for action when he had his loins girded up or his garments girded up. And I want to take you to the book of Luke for a few moments, the chapter 12 of the book of Luke. I'm going to read verse number... Verse number 16. Read down a little bit through here, and then we'll skip some verses and read some of this familiar story. But listen as we read. He says, "And he spake a parable unto them, the ground of a certain man, of a rich man, brought forth plenteous. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich toward God." Now the thought here, and then we'll skip some verses and go over, but the thought here is simply this. This man was not prepared. He was not prepared for the coming of the Lord. He was not prepared to go and meet God. He was a man who had absolutely put his whole life into monetary things. That was his whole life. That's what drove him. That's what kept him going. But he had left God out of his life. Now, if you go with me to the 31st verse, he says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What he's saying here, and if you notice in verse 21, we read that this man layeth up treasures for himself, is not rich toward himself. He's teaching his disciples that you are not to be like this rich man. You are not to be like him. He said, that's why, because where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. He said, you're not to be like this rich man. You're not to be unprepared. Wherever your treasure is, your heart follows it. Now, let me say something to you, folks. That's the truth of the Word of God, is it not? Isn't that true? Now, let me ask you a question. Where's your treasure? And I can tell you exactly where your heart is. Tell you exactly. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. No matter what it is, that's where your heart is. Amen? Now listen to what he says. Don't be, in other words, don't be like this rich fool that has laid up treasures for himself and his heart was after those things. But look at the next verse. He says in verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. He says, no, don't be like this rich fool, but be like this. Here's what you're to do. You're to have your loins girded about and your lights burning brightly. And listen what that will do, what that'll accomplish. He says, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. In other words, when you've got your loins girded, and we'll deal with this. What does he mean by loins? What's he talking about? But when you've got your loins girded and your light burning, he says, you'll be like one that waits for their Lord. And he says, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. You know what he's saying? He's saying to us, you know what? There should be no hesitation whatsoever. There should be no preparation. There shouldn't be getting ready. You already ought to be ready for action. Your loins, your garments ought to be girded up, out of the way, with your shield in your hand and your sword. You ought to be ready to fight. You ought to be there ready immediately when he opens the door. There oughtn't be no preparation. We ought to be just ready constantly. Now listen, and he says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Whether I say unto you that ye shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if ye shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are they servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known that hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. He'd have been ready. He'd been ready with that sword. He'd been ready to fight. He'd have fought that thief off. So now he says, but be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in not an hour when you think not. In other words, when the Son of Man comes, just be ready to go. Now he is dealing with salvation here, but it's not just that. Be ready, be prepared. Be ready to go, be ready to meet the Lord, you see. And so there again, he's saying, let your loins be girded up and your lights burning. That's the condition that God wants you and I in. Ready. He wants your lights burning brightly, you see. Now, let's go over to finish this out. Let's go over to 1 Peter, please. First chapter. I want to start reading verse number 3. We'll read just a few verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his, and this is in the 1 Peter, first chapter, third verse, according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein, listen to what he said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, what he's talking about here, you understand, that's a precious portion of Scripture, but he's talking about the trial of our faith. And our faith is tried. But now listen to what he says on over in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, wherefore, looking back on all that he said, he talked about this battle that we would be facing, trials that we'd be facing. And in verse 13, he says, wherefore, because of that, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, he says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now I believe when God is back here talking about that we should gird up those loins back in Ephesians, he's talking about your mind. What do you gird up the loins with? Go with me back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. He says, having therefore, verse 14, having your loins girded about with what? Truth. You must gird the loins of your minds with truth. Now, I'm going to take you to some scripture. I want to show you what God says truth is. Look over in John, the 8th chapter of John, please. Verse 28. 8th chapter, John, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that praise him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What did Jesus say truth was? His word. I've got to gird up the loins of our mind with the truth of the word of God. That's the first thing he tells us to put on. Look in John 17, please. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What does he say then? Thy word is truth. How are we going to gird up the loins of our minds? With truth. What is truth? The word of God is truth. Look at verse number 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the truth. If you want to gird up the loins of your mind, you're going to have to get the word of God. You're going to have to know what the word of God says. You're going to have it available and ready. You've got to believe it. You've got to know its precepts. You've got to know what it says, what it teaches. You've got to know in everyday life to fight the devil. You're going to have to know what the word of God says about certain things, these things that we need to help us in this battle. God is saying, what is truth? What do you gird up your loins of your mind with? With the truth, the word of God. Look over in 1 Corinthians, please. 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 13. Watch ye, and listen to what he says next. Stand fast in faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now he simply says, stand fast in the faith. Let me ask you a question. How do we get faith? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, to build faith, you must do it through the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I'm saying to you, I'm just simply presenting this to you. You need to understand it. You need to get a hold of it. That's why Satan fights continually to keep people out of the house of God where the Word of God has been preached. He does not care if you go somewhere where the Word of God is not being preached. It doesn't matter to him one bit. He's not fearful of some preacher that does not fear or does not preach the Word of God. He's not a bit fearful of it whatsoever. It doesn't bother him. Go all you want. Go 15 times a week if you want to. But when the Word of God is preached, he is fearful of that because you're going to gird up the loins of your mind with the truth. You will know the answers. You will know when false things approach. You will know that. Why? Because your mind is girded with the Word of God, you see. And so what we need to do is study the Bible, know what it says, know what its precepts say. Listen, it's not like studying a history book where you gain knowledge. Many times that's all we want to do. We want to take the Word of God. We want to gain knowledge. The Word of God is be studied in such a way as it becomes the controller of your whole life. It controls you. It directs you. It guides you in every single thing that you do. That's why when you gird up the loins of your mind with truth and you face the old devil and all of his wiles and all of his false things that he brings our way, you'll know what they are. And that's why God first of all said, you gird up the loins of your mind. Know what the precepts of the Bible is. Know what it teaches. Know what it says. And you'll recognize a false thing when it comes your way. So you've got to know that. And the preachers holler about it. We scream about it. We say, get in church, read your Bible, study the Bible, know it, learn it, and just simply just hear it over and over and over. Why do we do that? Because we're girding up the loins of your mind so you'll know what the Bible says, and you can't stand against the devil without it. It has to be, this book has to govern your whole life, you see. You know Satan is a liar. He's a murderer. He's an adversary. He's against you. He's an accuser. He'll do anything he can to destroy you, and he lies all the time. So what do you need? You need the truth. And what is the truth? The Word of God. That's the truth. That's how you can know. That's how you'll know when Satan comes against you, when he tells you a big fat lie. He tells you that it's all right to do this or that. You'll know it isn't, because the Word of God says it isn't, if you know the Word of God. If you've girded up your loins with the truth of the Word of God, you see. Now, this battle against old Satan, it's endless. It's went on since the beginning of the church. I mean, it's went on since the very beginning of time. But for the church, it's been going on and going on and going on. It's not going to stop. Go with me over to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, the book of Acts. "Selves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Don't you understand what Paul is saying and warning them? He's saying you need to be fed. That's why he told preachers to feed the church with the Word of God. They must be fed. They have to be fed. They have to be strengthened. And he says there's going to be wolves come in. He says after his departure, there's going to be wolves come in, enter in, and not sparing the flock. They're not going to spare the flock. They don't care about the flock. They want to destroy the flock. And Paul warned that. And listen to what he says. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, he said, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You hear that? Word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. What do you need? You and I need the word of his grace. You need the Bible, the Word of God. You need to know what it says. You need to gird up the loins of your mind. Daddies, you need to know that to protect your families. You need to know what the Bible says so you can protect your children. Amen. Pastors, you need to know it so you protect your church. Amen. We need to know those things. You've got to gird up your mind. You won't know Satan's devices if you don't know the Word of God and know what it teaches, and you'll know that something false comes along. You'll be fooled by it. You've got to know what the Bible says, not what you think or someone else thinks or what someone tells you, but what the Bible says. That's how you're going to be strong. That's the first defensive thing that God says to put on. Gird up the loins of your mind. See what he's talking about there. So Satan, he's a liar. This battle here is going to go on and on. It has all down through church history. All you have to do sometimes read church history. It is always, always, there's been something coming in and changing what has always stood as the truth of the Word of God. Adding new things to it. You go over the book of Acts, the 15th chapter, into the book of Galatians. The main thing, and Acts, the 15th chapter, is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. Wonderful chapter. And Galatians is a wonderful book. But you know what he's warning against in those two times in Galatians? Warning against circumcision. Circumcision was brought in by some of the Jews saying you had to be circumcised to be saved. It's no different than the day when they say you have to be baptized to be saved. These things are added to salvation. Paul, in the epistles, wrote over and over and over warning us about these untruths. You need to know what the Bible says over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. That is one of my favorite chapters. It is a tremendous chapter. It's so wonderful. You start reading down through there about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us a picture of what the gospel is, and it talks about the resurrection. But do you know why it was written? You know basically what he was doing in writing it?
is because simply because there was a teaching going around that there is no resurrection of the dead. And he was answering that. He was answering these false things. And let me say to you folks, they're still here. That's why you've got to be so careful. You've got to know what the Bible says. Gird up those loins of your mind, you see. You've got to know so you'll know the false when it comes around, you see. We must know the truth. We must gird up the minds of our, or gird up the loins of our minds. What with? Truth. And what is truth? The Bible, the Word of God. Look in Ephesians, this book that we're in, the fourth chapter of Ephesians, 11th verse. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? I know you've heard this. We preach through it. But folks, listen to what God is saying. Why did he give you pastors? Why did he give you evangelists? Why did he give you us to teach the Word of God? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What for? Why does God want you built up? Why has God sent pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles and all? Why did God send all of these people? Why? So, verse 14, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, so that you won't be blown around with every wind of doctrine. That's why. So you'll know what is true. That's why. That's why preachers preach. That's why it's a terrible thing where churches, where preachers are not preaching the Bible, the Word of God, and teaching their people. That's their responsibility. One of my greatest responsibilities here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is to bring you to maturity. That's my responsibility. I can't make you get mature, but it's my responsibility to teach the Word of God so you will become perfected in the saints and brought to maturity. That's why God gave me here. You've got to understand that, and you've got to respond to that. It's up to you to respond to the teaching of the Word of God and apply it to your life and gird up the loins of your mind so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. You've got to know that. And if you just let God help you, there'll be some discernment. I think one of the most serious things in Christianity in most of our churches, I don't know about you individually, but is the lack of spiritual discernment. People do not think spiritually. They think worldly. They look at a situation and they say, well, I think this ought to be done, or that ought to be, and never think what the Bible says. It's just not being done. Christians all over are not doing it. Folks, you need to gird up the loins of your mind and think spiritually about every situation that comes your way, no matter what it is. You must think spiritually about it, you see. Now, there isn't any hope. Let me guarantee you, there's no hope in the battle that you got against Satan. Satan's going to come against you. There's no hope whatsoever if you don't do this first thing. And gird up the loins of your mind with truth. You're defeated already. He's got you where he wants you. That's why the Apostle Paul here said, this is first in the armor. Put it on. You see, he knows if you don't have the truth, that you're going to have a whole lot of trouble. You're going to really be in trouble. And old Satan is going to be able to just lead you anywhere and toss you back and forth, you see. Now, today we're living in a day when, you know, people are even saying this. You know, how can you define truth, Brother Ross? Truth can't be defined. That's what they're saying. They're saying, Brother Ross, I've had them say to me many times, that's just your opinion. I look at it another way. Brother Ross, that's just something you believe. But you know, we all got our little difference of opinions. Well, let me tell you where the difference is. The difference is in what does the Bible say? That's where it is. It isn't Brother Ross or it isn't you. It's what does the Bible say. We've got to take this Bible and we've got to search it out and we've got to rightly divide it. We've got to know what the Bible says and get off of this thing of giving our little old opinions. Amen? That don't go very far. And let me say to you folks, we've got to quit that thing. You see, we hear this all the time. We've got to be tolerant with men and their beliefs. I'm going to tell you something. Christianity has never been tolerant. Never has been. That's one of the reasons Christianity is hated so much. It is not tolerant of other beliefs. It should not be. I'm not tolerant with a Buddhist. I'm not tolerant with the Mohammed. I'm not tolerant with the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons. How can I be tolerant with false doctrine? Christianity is never tolerant with all of these things. Did you read, and I think it was in the Sword of the Lord, I can't remember, I think that's where I read it, this last Sword of the Lord, about where down this ministerial association group changed its name to Interfaith. They wanted to get more people interacting with the ministerial association, and so it went along, and pretty soon, here just the other day, they had a witch join the ministerial association. He was a man witch. Joined the ministerial association, and someone said, well, we've just got to learn to be more tolerant and acceptable to other beliefs and thoughts. Well, I could have told you a long time ago, the ministerial association's in trouble. I don't want to be a part of the ministerial association. I'm not tolerant when it comes to the Bible. I don't want to be tolerant. I'm not going to be tolerant. And you ought not to be either. Christianity cannot be tolerant with wrong beliefs that are against the Bible, you see. So what we've got to remember is this. There is one authority in our lives as a Christian, and that authority is the Bible, the Word of God. That's what tells us what we should do and what we should not do. And it's not to pick out a little verse here and say, here it is, this is what I stand on. No, it's to take the principles of the Word of God, the precepts of the Word of God that is taught throughout the Bible, and know what it says, not just because you've picked out a little verse that says this and you're going to hang your hat on it. That is not Bible. You've got to take the principles of God's Word that is taught throughout the Word of God and put them together and hang your hat on the fact that this is what the Bible says and teaches us. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to gird up the loins of your mind with the Word of God. You see, America, this nation, the homes of America, the churches of America, have departed from the authority of the Bible. The Bible is not the authority in most homes in America. We certainly is not the authority in this nation. And shame to be, it's not the authority in multitudes of churches in this land. But the Bible must be the final authority. You see, you heard this saying, the Bible contains the Word of God. That's a foolish statement. We don't even understand what's being said. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's not like something, well, in here somewhere is the Word of God. No, it is the Word of God. And you've got to get a hold of that and believe that with your heart. And it must be that which rules and governs your life. What it says. So the church, you see, the church many times does not even recognize the Bible as the final authority. And when that happens, let me say to you, it's in real trouble. Now you say, Brother Ross, surely churches put the Bible as authority. You better wake up. You better get your head out of the sand. Because it's going around following traditions and all kinds of principles and traditions of men instead of the Bible, the Word of God. And that's why the churches are in trouble in America today. W.E. Gladstone said this. He said he called the Bible the foundation. And then here's what he said. The impregnable rock of Holy Scriptures. That's what we stand on. The Bible, the Word of God, the rock of the Bible, the Word of God, you see. You and I have got to have a chart. We've got to have a compass. We've got to have an authority which is over us. We've got to know which direction we're going. We've got to know how to keep on course. And the Bible is that which we must base our whole life on. It is our compass. It is our guide. It's our authority. Amen? Now, gird the loins of your mind with it. Know what it says. And when you need to make a decision, you'll make it according to the Bible. When old Satan comes your way, you'll be able to fight because your loins of your mind are girded with the truth of the Bible. So you say, Brother Ross, why do we just keep hearing? You just need to read your Bibles. You need to study. You need to hear preaching. You need to hear teaching. Because that's what God says to do. You gird up the loins of your mind with the truth, the Bible, the Word of God. And you won't have all those problems down the road. When Satan comes at you, you'll know what is right. Pentecostal comes to you and starts talking to you about tongues, you'll just say, ah, stop it. I don't want to hear it. That's false. It's not Bible. It's not truth. Someone tell you you can lose your salvation, you'll scream louder than that. Because you'll know that that's not true. Because you'll know the Bible. Amen? So, first thing we put on is what? Armor of God. Gird up the loins with the truth. Amen? The Bible, the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, again thanking you today for your goodness and kindness and your grace and mercy. And thank you for who you are and how great you are and how wonderful you are. Father, once again, we ask you, Lord, to help us to know your word and to study it and to learn it and to, Lord, let it be that which binds our mind and keeps it where it ought to be. And Lord, so we'll know the truth of your word. So you just help us to do that here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.